My Mac Podcast number 165, recorded in San Francisco, California. Macworld Expo Day 2.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com Podcast.
Making myself dizzy, headbanging to our theme music while Larry and Guy look on because they can't hear the music. I'm listening to it on headphones just to sync it up correctly. So
it just makes it easier for you.
And gives you guys a little entertainment. You know, I'm all about the entertainment, brother.
Yeah, but who's being entertained?
You.
Ah, okay.
You were the entertainee.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I gotta let you know when you're being entertained. You know, I can't trust that you know when you're being entertained. So, second full day of the Macworld Expo. It's Wednesday night as we record this.
Yes.
On the East Coast, most of our families are getting ready for bed.
Oh, yeah.
Here in San Francisco, California, we are, I guess you could say, resting up from the day's events and getting ready to partake in a little Mac Gathering partying.
Winding down before falling down.
We've got a party we're going to tonight. Hopefully it's going to be a good party. I'm looking forward to it.
It was a lot of fun last year.
Yeah, absolutely was. And it's hosted by Backbeat Media, the Mac Observer guys. I'm not sure who else is sponsoring it with them.
We'll find out when we get there.
Thank you for the invites. That's cool. Anybody listening, we have one extra ticket. And if you could travel back in time, you could come with us. Anyways, one of the problems that I've been having is uploading the podcast the night that we record it. I've been forced to upload at 4 in the morning because the network is just crap here when everybody's using it.
Right. Well, I mean, that's not a big surprise. Being, you know, it's Macworld Expo, and most of the hotels are filled with fellow Mac people, and, you know, they've all got their stuff to upload and download.
And we do, too. It's been a long day. It's been a long couple days.
It has been.
And
I mean, going all the way back to
Sunday,
to
when
Sunday.
We got here.
Right.
And we hit the ground running, really.
Pretty much. You know, I came from D.C. I had a short flight to Philadelphia, and, you know, God love Travelocity. To get the cheap ticket, I had to sit in Philadelphia for 4 hours before a 5 to 6 hour flight.
Oh, that's just brutal.
Oh, it was. It was really, really bad. But once I got into the plane, it wasn't so bad. I was fortunate enough to get an exit row seat.
Well, I mentioned on a podcast or two ago, they kind of start blending together. We've done 3 podcasts from the show.
Right.
My flight actually got in a half hour early.
Yeah, mine showed up an hour early.
Yeah. What's going on? How are we getting here early like that?
Tailwinds.
Well, yeah, and what this will mean is that, you know, karma being what it is,
yeah,
we'll
be
at least
late.
An hour late.
Yeah.
Getting back to our respective homes.
But at least, you know, we're not late for anything. I mean, it's
yes.
Just going home. So that's a little easier to swallow than showing up here late like I did last year because my luggage was 2 hours behind me and not being able to get my press credentials to 15 minutes before the keynote. That was a whole lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it was so much better this year where we couldn't get our press credentials until...
At all.
After the keynote was over.
Right. Well, not that it was over, but just...
Damn near.
When it started.
Yeah.
The podcast that we recorded that went live today, we actually started recording that while the keynote was still going on.
Yes.
So that was cool. Very shortly after we started, the keynote was over. But I kind of like that. And quite honestly, I don't really mind not being inside with Steve Jobs, listening to it, and I have no idea what that yelling is.
I wonder if that got picked up.
I think that was
now,
Steve
we weren't
Ballmer.
Killing anyone. Yeah, it was Steve Ballmer.
Ballmer.
Just completely
developers!
He just used Leopard for the first time, and he's really not pleased about this.
Why didn't someone tell me about this?
It was so good.
Quick, fun story. Maybe it'll be fun for you guys. It wasn't so much fun for me. You might just go ahead and close that. We're just going to keep getting the traffic sounds up here.
I don't think that's traffic. I think that's one of the many colorful street performers that we have here in San Francisco.
They're really good with juggling money in a cup, I've noticed.
Yes.
That seems to be their one-trick pony. They're really good at that. The homeless situation in San Francisco is,
at least
I don't
want to
say
area.
It's unbelievable, But no, it's pretty much everywhere like this. I mean, I think they keep them out of the super touristy things like Fisherman's Wharf.
Right.
But good Lord, it's... let's not get into that. I get to sleep kind of last night after midnight, California time. So to me, it feels like it's 3 in the morning.
Right.
I finally go to sleep, and my next-door neighbors in room 1029, I'll say it, you jerks, kept slamming the door. Kept slamming the door over and over and over. And I would wake up briefly every time they did it, but I was living with that. Okay? 4 in the morning, I wake up with the overpowering stench of marijuana. Because they're smoking marijuana right next door, and it's coming right through the adjoining door. Coming right underneath. I put a towel there, didn't help. I had to open up my sliding balcony door to get some fresh air. The front desk doesn't answer the phone, I guess, at 4 in the morning. So that was a nice way to start the day.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, not really. So that's how my day started, very, very early. But I have discovered now, because the same thing, not the same thing, but I was up at 4 in the morning
anyway,
Monday night as well, that's when I can upload the podcast. I can actually get it uploaded at that time during the morning.
Well, your only other choice is to wait until the morning when we go into the press center and do it from there. But usually by the time we actually get into the press center, there's so many other
same
things
thing.
Going on.
No,
well,
it's not
no,
bad.
Not
no,
so
the connection
that.
Is pretty good in the press center.
Yeah. Well, unless you are in Moscone West.
You want to go ahead and tell what happened in Moscone
West?
We
decided we wanted to check out the media center over in Moscone West. So after we'd had breakfast this morning, we headed over there. And first off, we couldn't even find the room. Told us...
It's a huge hall, too.
Yeah.
We're wandering around and everyone's going, oh, I think it's over that way. Maybe it's over there.
They basically just said go to the second floor.
Yeah,
like,
thanks, Skippy.
Yeah, so we get to the second floor and we come across the first, first large hallway.
Yeah.
And hallway is probably not really giving it justice because
it's
about...
the width of a football field.
Yeah, it's like 20 to 30 feet across hallway.
It's
huge.
Mammoth. It's
and
huge.
We start walking down. We see all these conference rooms. We see all these little mini auditoriums where people are setting up for press junkets and things like that. We get probably three quarters of the way down. We're like, you know what?
It's not down here.
It's not down here. So we go back and...
And walking three quarters of the way down there is 5 minutes. I'm not exaggerating.
It is a large building.
And we were in roller skates. No.
Yeah, well, and in large cars. But we finally get back to the main part of the hallway. And we ask somebody else, and they find, maybe it's down the next hallway, which is another good, minute or so walk to get over to there. And we finally get down there. We start heading down, and we see this, like, fake wall that they almost like a cubicle wall with doors that they've erected. And we open up the door to there.
He said erected.
Yeah. we go into, all right. We go into this room, and because the sun is coming up right where the windows are in this room, you can't see the screen on your computer no matter which way you're facing. You're either getting blinding glare in your eyes or blinding glare on your screen.
But thankfully, there's
computer.
Only, one or two other guys in there at that point? One guy when we first get there.
Yeah, but it didn't really matter because there were no outlets at any of the tables.
No, I found one. A power outlet.
Well, yeah, but we couldn't sit at the tables and do it.
No.
There were no outlets at the tables. They were all along the walls. So.
No, I found one.
At one of those tables that were in
the
middle
tables.
Of the room?
You remember when I sat at that one round table over towards the other side of the wall?
Okay.
I found a power outlet.
Well,
one.
But yeah, but it didn't matter because none of the network was working.
No, you would join the network and it would join it and then it's gone.
Connection failed every single time.
So we found this great media room that nobody was using, and we found out why nobody was using it.
Because their internet sucked.
So afterwards, after we get done with that, Guy Searle and I went to a meeting at the Westin Hotel, and we met with FileMaker about their new consumer-level program.
Bento.
And let's go ahead and play that now on the podcast. This is the folks at FileMaker. It's a great-looking little program. We'll see how successful it is.
Right.
It reminds me, and I don't know if I mentioned this in the podcast or I mentioned it in the room before, but it really reminds me of the Not necessarily Apple the Works. Books. Well, Apple Works or Claire's Works for me.
Yeah.
The database program that was in there. Simple, something that the average Mac user can use. When you first install it, it sucks all your information from your calendar and all that.
But it also has a somewhat of a Pages Keynote feel. Kind of interface with the templates and all the rest of that. Very easy to use.
So let's go ahead and play that now, and then we're going to play a couple other segments, and then we're going to come back to wrap up the show, Guy.
Yeah.
And let's listen to that now. Long-term listeners of the podcast will remember that I used to make my money using FileMaker, creating custom database solutions. I told a story a while back about the audio place in Battle Creek, Michigan that they wanted to run their entire business off FileMaker or off the Macintosh, and they came to me and said, how do we do this? And so I built them a custom FileMaker solution that tracked their inventory. It was their cash register. It did everything. When people punched in the morning, it just took care of everything. And that was the power of FileMaker using a relational database that I really enjoyed. So when I saw a press release a few months ago from FileMaker for a new program called Bento, a database program that's geared towards, well, let's say, the consumer market, I was really excited. So I'm really excited to be here with FileMaker today and Beth from Bento. Bento Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hello. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing well. I'm really excited about this program. I'll be honest, I have a version already.
Okay.
I'm one of those lucky press guys who didn't have to pay for it. But I would have paid for it anyway, sight unseen for those. Just really excited about this. So tell us about Bento. Why should the listeners out there go up to the site, download it, buy it? You can buy it. You don't have to go to retail, correct?
Right. You can go to bentotrial.com and download a free 30-day trial. So all of your listeners can go get it for free, try it out for 30 days, and then they can decide if they want to buy it for $49.
And if they want to buy it, it just unlocks it, so they don't have to re-download anything.
That's right. There's a Buy Now button that comes up every time you launch the trial, and you can just click that, go through an online transaction with your credit card, and we'll send you a license key. You plug that in, and it's unlocked and good to go.
One of my questions that I had after playing with it for a while, and that's really all I've done so far, is I've played with it, and it's kind of fun to do. And I loved how it automatically imported a lot of the data that was on my computer. One of my questions is, continuing on forward, will you guys release kind of add-on templates and stuff like that for the future, or are you going to look for third-party developers to do that? Because it's an all-in-one product. It's not a document-based database program.
Right. All of your libraries in Bento are in one file. So you can store as many libraries as you want. That might be equivalent to a database in FileMaker. However, all of your libraries, from your contacts to your tasks to your projects to the events you might be tracking, are stored in one file. So down the line, we may be able to allow people to plug in additional templates. We ship with 20. And if we see a need for more, we can add more to that. As far as development and making this more of a development platform, we haven't done that yet. We haven't had a lot of requests for it, although the product's only been out for a week. So
True. We'll
see.
Yeah. when you have third parties kind of feeding into it, it only makes the program more valuable. More people want it.
Yeah, we sure know that with FileMaker.
Absolutely.
The developers all around
the
world.
The developers for FileMaker, I get press releases once a week with this plugin for FileMaker or that plugin for FileMaker.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies who make a full-time living.
Absolutely. FileMaker has been, it helped buy a house for me. Eventually.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With my first wife. She has benefit of that now. So tell us a little bit, what are the users going to use Bento for? Why is this a benefit to them rather than having an address book application and a calendar application? Mm-hmm. Well, where do they get the benefit?
So since most of your users, or maybe all of your listeners, are Mac users.
I would hope so.
So we really developed it. This is a database specifically designed for Leopard. So with that Mac user in mind, when we talk to the users out there that we want to buy this product, it's really someone who needs to get more organized. It's not someone who wants to be a programmer or learn about scripting and things like that.
What is this organization thing? I've never heard of this term.
Getting
before.
Organized as a
reporter
and a journalist.
I've got four kids, so getting organized, that's kind of a foreign concept to me.
Well, you're probably using Address Book on your Mac. That's
Absolutely.
A good way to organize your contacts.
Yep.
So you're getting there. You probably got iCal running.
Absolutely.
You might be using iWork or MS Office.
A little bit of the new Office.
But I
don't like it so far.
And then some people are just brand new. Some people are just brand new to Macs, and they just
Absolutely.
Don't have any data, and they just bought their computer to get things more organized and to be more productive.
Right.
So we really, with those kind of users in mind, and if you kind of break it into three groups, there's the Address Book and iCal folks. And if we just talk about that, those two products, and your listeners who use those two products, basically Bento is kind of like address book on steroids. You can instantly see all of your addresses inside Bento when you install the product. So because this is a Leopard-only app, we have direct access into your address book and iCal information. So right when you launch Bento,
it's already there.
It's already there.
Now my question is, a lot of people use they have one Mac in the house and they have multiple users.
Mm-hmm.
Will Bento work in a multi-user environment, or is it really just one user?
It's one user. It's a personal database. So you can have Bento on multiple machines. So
right.
We knew that a lot of families might want to have it on multiple machines. So we have a 5-pack for $99. So it's a pretty good deal.
Five copies for $99. That's a really good price.
Yeah, we're selling a lot of the 5-packs. So, and many households, my household has many Macs in it, as yours, and so even the kids now are starting to get organized.
So for those who are unfamiliar with the database program, if I create something new in Bento as an address, is it automatically going to go over to my address book as
well? It is, without you having to do any synchronization or importing or exporting. So when you change a name or an address or a phone number for a contact in Bento, it's actually changing the data in address book.
So what about like events, lists, stuff like
mm-hmm.
that? It has all that built in?
Yeah, well, what we do is we link up with iCal Tasks and iCal Events. So never before have you been able to link Address Book and iCal together. Now with Bento, because we have access to both stores of data, you can have a contact record, and right below it, you can have all the events associated with that person or all the to-dos associated with that person on one screen. And that's never been possible until now.
So if I'm going to go up to someone that's a new Mac user, and I see them all the time. In fact, I've got a few relatives who I'm constantly going over there to show them how to recover their lost password to their .Mac account or, you know, really basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to sell them on Bento. What's kind of the bullet points that I should say, this is why you want it?
Okay, the first thing is that it can help you get more organized, and pretty much everyone needs to have that. So
absolutely.
Even if they don't want to be more organized, they can, within 5 minutes, have Bento installed on their machine, have it showing their address book and their iCal information, and from there, the possibilities are endless. You'll have everything all in one place.
Is it going to be eventually rich media where you can put movies in there too?
Yeah, you can actually put movies in right
now.
You
already can.
Yeah, just drag and drop, and the movie goes right into your form. So even for a sports team, I have a lot of different databases
mm-hmm.
in Bento, and tracking the sport. My son's sports team is one of the things. We can have the player's picture, their position, their parents' names, the phone numbers, and then just drag in video clips.
Little video clips. That's awesome. It looks like a fantastic program. I can't wait to get home. The only complaint I really had is you guys released this a week before Macworld, so I didn't get a chance to play with this as much as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait to get home and start playing with it. And I really am really excited about this product. I hope a lot of people check it out. You can try it out for free, and there is, how long is the demo?
A 30-day trial.
But there's no restrictions on what you can do with the application within those 30
every
days.
Every feature is in there. It's fully functional.
I think that's smart because people are going to get used to it. They're going to really like it. That 30 days is going to go up, and they're going to go, oh, now I got to buy it.
Yeah. And one other thing, too, a lot of your users might have information in spreadsheets.
Yes.
Phone lists and spreadsheets.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of information should really be tracked in a database instead of something like Excel or numbers.
Can you import like a tab delimited file into it?
Yeah, you just drag. You save out of Excel as a comma separated value,
mm-hmm.
CSV. It's right on the menu.
Yep.
Just drag it into Bento, and all the data's there.
And it's all there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's so much easier to sort and search. We have iTunes-style searching, so you can find anything in seconds.
Is it FileMaker.com or is it Bento.com?
Well, you can go to BentoTrial.com to get
mm-hmm.
the trial, but you can also go to FileMaker.com.
Okay. I think a lot of you guys out there listening is going to definitely want this program. It's really cool. I got a lot of email about it asking what I thought about it. Of course, I really haven't played with it too much. I'm really looking forward to doing the full review. And editor Russ Walkowicz is always going to – we're going to kind of split that up because – he's just as excited about the program as I am. So make sure you check it out at bentotrial.com or filemaker.com, obviously. And watchmymac.com in the coming months. We're going to have not only a review, but probably some how-tos and getting used to the program. We're really excited about it, and I think you should be too. We're here at the JoeSoft booth, ProSoft booth, and what we're doing is the Apple trivia questions. The rules are real easy. If you can answer 10 questions, you're getting a copy of Stocks. If you miss three, you're done.
Okay.
Okay. We try not to make them too difficult, but you do have to know your Apple trivia.
Okay.
Okay. So the first question, what year was the first iBook introduced?
2000.
Let's see. Oh, you were close. You're only off by a year. Next question is, what were the two colors that first iBook came in? There were two-tone, but what were the colors?
Fruit color. The Bondi blue and what was the other one?
Fruit color.
Yeah. I know there was an orange.
We'll call that blueberry and tangerine. Right. We're going to call that correct.
Okay.
Though. So what is he, guy? He's 1-for-1.
Right.
What was Apple's first computer that had a GUI name? Graphical User Interface.
Macintosh. No, the Lisa, yeah.
All right, perfect.
I was about to say the 128K, but the Lisa.
Yeah, you're right, the Lisa came first, so you're 2-1. 8 more to go, and you get the package from, from Joe Software.
To remember these, you have to be old, and your
That's
memory's
right.
gone.
What year, month, day, year did Apple incorporate?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I know, you gotta think back. And it wasn't a joke when they incorporated. That's a good hint.
Probably 401, 30 years.
You're right so far.
How much did you got?
4-1.
The 4-1.
So
one.
Right
I
gotta, there,
gotta
April
think
1st.
About the year. Let's see, I celebrated 30 years a couple years ago.
Everybody knew that but me.
Yeah. No, actually, nobody got that yesterday. If you answer this correctly, you'll be the first one to get it. Everybody else has been off by 1 year. So the year that
75.
You're closer than everybody else. It is 1976.
Okay, is that the first one wrong?
That was number two.
Two.
So what is he? He's 4-2?
Yep.
4-2.
Getting on the bubble here. We want to give this stuff away. Besides Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, who was the third founding member of Apple Computer? He sold out really quick for dirt cheap.
Yeah. I can't remember the name.
Can't remember. You're going to lose, aren't you?
I'm going to lose.
Man, I really want to.
I know.
And his name was Ronald Wayne.
Yeah.
Hey.
Thanks. It was fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Now a word from our sponsors.
Yeah, we are going to give away a copy of Stocks. And I'm here with Owen Rubin.
It's kind of a cool piece of software.
It is.
There's no software that I've seen around that actually analyzes and does stock market analysis. And they look back at history and such, and they... tell you that you, I'm sure I'm going to put all my stocks in here. It's going to tell me I just screwed up Royal. That's what I'm expecting it to do.
Yep.
So it says, oh, sell that crap.
What does it say about Apple?
About Apple?
It says Apple stock's going up. Music on the Macintosh is huge right now. And one of the booths that we're at today is Notion Music. And I'm with Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Could you explain what this software is? It looks like a guitar neck on the screen, and I see notes on a fretboard. What is this?
This is Progression from Notion Music. It's a guitar composition and performance software, but it's not just limited to guitar. It's guitar, bass, drums, keyboards.
If you can play it, you can do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And essentially what you have here is the ability to compose for those instruments through standard notation and then get the playback directly out of the computer.
Does this integrate with other software at all?
It can through MIDI.
Okay.
It can do MIDI out into other software, or you can do MIDI in through a MIDI keyboard, MIDI guitar to record your ideas.
Gotcha. Who's the target audience for this? Who are you guys trying to target? If someone's into music, they're doing a lot of recordings, they're making their own sheet music, how do I convince them that you guys are the ones that I should send them to?
Well, it's pretty innovative in that our playback is all hooked up to the notation. So all you have to do is enter your notes and you get direct playback. There's no extra behind-the-scenes work through MIDI or extra samplers or sequencers or anything like that. And out of the box, it's going to ship with an acoustic guitar, an electric guitar.
Wow.
With amp simulators, it's going to have samples for upright bass, electric bass, 3 different keyboards, and a drum set.
Is this upgradable too? Is there...
It's planned to do that. Okay. Right now, it's a pretty young product. It's been about 6 months out.
Very Mac-like, but it kind of looks like an amplifier, but you can definitely tell it's a Macintosh application.
Yes.
Is this the first application you guys have had on the Mac, or you guys been around?
No, we have our flagship product, which is Notion itself,
okay.
Which is our orchestral composition product.
Now, Notion I've heard of.
Yeah, it's got out-of-the-box 33 orchestral instruments, all sampled at the London Symphony Orchestra.
Wow.
Abbey Road Studio over in London.
That right there is a nice selling point.
Yeah, yeah, and it's ease of use, it's friendlier, and it sounds better, and that would be... Those are my 3 points.
Those are your 3 points.
For pitching it, yeah.
Somebody listen to the podcast, they want to learn more, where should they go on the internet?
Notionmusic.com.
Spelled just the way it sounds. Notion. Music.com. Okay, how much are we looking at price-wise on these?
Notion goes for $499.99.
Okay.
Progression is retail at $149.
Wow, that's...
You can typically find it, though, on our online dealers for about $99.
So this isn't anything people are going to download from your website?
They're no,
gonna
just
have
because
to buy
of
retail.
Because of the size of the samples.
Yeah, it's large.
So
right, yeah.
You're going to have it on a disc. But.
Well, thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
We're working with ProSoft Engineering and JoSoft. We're going to give you a copy of Stocks. All you have to do is get 10 trivia questions correctly.
10 trivia questions.
10 trivia questions. If you miss 3, you're done.
Yeah.
So, what was the name of the store that was the first to order an Apple computer? Kind of going back in time
bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was even young then, too.
There was a magazine by that name, wasn't
there? Was a magazine
by
that
name.
Yeah,
I'm going to say Byte.
We'll give it to you. The Byte Shop. Right. Perfect. By the way, it's changed over
here.
Yeah,
I guess it has.
Yeah. Now the Byte Shop would have a whole different meaning for that store.
Yeah, definitely.
What computer did Apple release on April 19th, 1977? Go with your first gut instinct.
The Apple.
The
one.
Apple...
Two.
Okay, there you go. They didn't actually sell the Apple One.
No, they were like
at the
300.
Shop. At the Byte Shop, right.
Yeah.
When they went to production, then it was the Apple
II.
Sure,
yeah. It was a beautiful machine, the Apple
II. What was the name of the first killer app created for the Apple II? This was the application that people bought an Apple II just to be able to run this application.
Backdraw. Back right.
Remember, it's for the Apple II.
Oh,
so I don't think
II.
It would be Mac
true.
Anything.
It wouldn't be Mac anything.
No. You're going to see the answer and you're going to go, oh, I knew that.
Yeah, probably will. Gosh. I don't know.
You don't know. It is...
VisiCal.
So you knew that, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was the first killer. That was
I
the app,
all
that was the
it.
Application that people thought, wow, computers are worthwhile. That's, I could actually use that. You're 3-1. 3 correct, 1 wrong so far.
I think I was running multi-plan. That was a problem.
Yep, multi-plan. That was up there, though, too. What was the name of the commercial that Apple used to introduce the Macintosh during the Super Bowl? And it was also the theme of the commercial. You remember the woman running?
The woman running the
it was based off of a
George
story.
George Orwell's.
Yep. And it also happened
George
to
Orwell
be the...
It's a year.
It's 1984.
1984 it is.
Yeah, okay,
perfect.
Thank
you. Now, here's who was the director of that commercial?
Kubrick.
That's who you're going to go with?
Yeah, sure.
It's actually Ridley Scott directed Aliens. Aliens, Gladiator, Hannibal, Black Hawk Down... Basically, since that ad, his career's just gone downhill.
It has.
So he's 6-2 or 5-2? 6-2. You're on the cusp here. You got to get the next 4. What was the name of the digital camera Apple sold in 1994? A lot of people forget Apple was way ahead of everybody else in digital cameras.
Right.
Can I give a hint? It's not the eyesight.
Yeah, it's not the eyesight. Yes. No, it's not.
Which is what I answered. So
and I'll give you. I'll give you. I'll give you another hint. A quick answer would probably be great.
A quick answer. Oh.
Quick cam.
Quick take. Thanks for playing, man.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Readers of the MyMac.com website, and of course you guys listening to the podcast know I talk about gaming quite a bit. Not just on the Mac, but console gaming. I've loved it since I was a little kid with my Atari 2600. And what I was really excited about last year was EA's commitment when they came out and started talking about gaming on the Mac. And what do you know, I've got 8 or 10 games from EA sitting on my shelf that I've been reviewing. I've already got 2 reviews done. Games take a little while, Dave, so
yes, it is.
Bear with me.
That's
a lot of games to get through, but I just got done posting my Need for Speed, and it got 4.5 out of 5. I actually really like it. It's a lot better with a joystick, by the way.
Yes, it is.
And I actually went and got the Xbox 360 controller for the Mac,
found
Mac software, and it works great. So I'm here with Dave. You're really the Mac guy for EA?
Yeah, my title there is Director Technical Design Strategic Platforms.
Now, let me ask you a question. What made you guys really start supporting the Mac? I don't want to say you guys really abandon it, but Mac gaming is
been really a non-start for a number of years now.
Yeah.
EA comes out last year, and gaming on the Mac is exploding. I'm buying your games on for my iPod. I'm playing your games on my Mac. My Mac is a gaming machine again. I don't have to install Windows on my Mac to play.
No, you don't.
Why'd you guys come back to the Macintosh?
Part of the difference was where the focus of Apple is in general. Right now, the iPhone kind of confirmed that, which is the iPhone could have been done for the mass market, the business market, but they focused on the consumer market. And that's where our games and our products across the board have been always focused on, is the consumer market.
That glossy screen on my iMac, I have to tell you, looks gorgeous.
Yes, it does.
It just looks beautiful.
So that was part of the strategic view here, is we're treating Apple as a strategic platform.
Yep.
We're after the iPod market. We're after the box product that we did for Christmas that we're planning for this year, as we announced for finally show Spore running.
I was going to say that. Now,
yes.
You've got Spore, and we've also got April from EA. April, I've been following the development of Spore for 3-4 years now. I've been dying to play this game, and it seems like it's never going to come out. I want to play this game so bad.
I do, too.
It's finally coming out. Supposedly, 2008. It's coming out this year.
Yes, yes. We are.
You promise you're not going to make me cry.
I'm going to try not
you're
to make
try.
Me cry,
Good.
Too.
I want to play this
really
game.
We really want it to come out this year. We really do.
If someone listening to this podcast is going, what the heck is Spore? Why is he so excited? Can you kind of give a, not too big, but a kind of a broad overview of what this game is?
I will do my best. So.
Creation, I guess.
Yeah, so Spore is the next big game from Will Wright
and
his team.
It's going to be huge. Huge!
If you're familiar with The Sims or SimCity, it's the same.
I never heard of it.
Never heard of The Sims?
Sims. I mean,
that's a whole other discussion. We'll do a different podcast on that.
No. Everybody knows The Sims, and he's a genius. He really is.
He's really creative. So his new big idea is called Spore, and what we're doing with that is in campaign mode, you can play starting as a little amoeba in the cell phase, in a little tide pool, kind of primordial Pac-Man, you know, trying to swim around and survive and munch your way to being a full-grown creature. You flop onto land, you're in a creature stage, you got to get arms and legs and fight or befriend other creatures.
I'm always befriending. I'm a nice guy.
Oh, that's good.
And everyone listening to this podcast,
all
they're mean.
They're all mean, but you're the only nice guy?
They're going to attack the other species.
Oh.
I just know it. I get the email, I can tell.
You're going to get more emails now after this. So yeah, you can choose to be friendly or aggressive. Then you advance into a tribal stage, advance into a civilization stage from there, advance into space stage where you can pull back on your planet, fly around in a spaceship. There's missions and goals along the way. But the other cool thing that we're showing here today at Macworld is the creature creator.
It looks awesome, by the way. You've got people lined up just dying to get their hands on the mouse to play with this.
Yeah, it's been great to see the actual people, you know, trying it out and having fun with it. So in Spore, it's the players who create the creatures, the buildings, and the vehicles.
How's the feedback been from the people up there playing with it and checking it out?
It's been fantastic.
Yeah.
We've seen everyone from like 5-year-old, you know, boys and girls who, you know, are barely being led by their parents on how to do it, on up to like hardcore gamers who really
awesome.
Kind of thought they were more into the gameplay part of it, or just having fun creating their stuff.
Yeah.
So,
Dave, I don't want to ask for actual numbers, but have you been pleased with the sale of Mac games so far?
It's still new. I mean, the biggest issue, there isn't an answer yet. And the reason I say that is we just finished up with Christmas.
Yeah.
We still have not made a simultaneous release yet. And so everybody's still thinking that simultaneously.
Well, we're getting games a year old. Well,
right, exactly.
That's the issue. New games are coming out.
So now what we're hoping this year is, previous to Christmas, we were able to get the technology up to a technology level that we could actually get a product, release it simultaneous with the PC version, and that's where we're headed this year.
So
this will be our test phase, basically to see, will the market hold its own?
Will it amaze you when you find out that Spore sells 2-1 on the Mac
PC? I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thanks a lot. We really appreciate EA supporting the Macs. From a personal level, thank you. I'm using my Mac to play games again, so my kids can watch cartoons on the other TV, and I don't have to turn on the PS3 or the Xbox. So thanks a lot for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you.
And we're back at the ProSoft booth. Joe Soft as well, ProSoft Engineering. We're trying to give away, and we haven't done it yet. We've had 3 contestants so far today of stocks, research tracking, analysis software. This isn't cheap stuff. You got your tag turned on. I can't see your name. His name is Alan. He's from Emory University.
Yeah, in Atlanta, Georgia.
In Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Tim Robertson with MyMac.com.
Nice to meet you, Tim.
We're working with ProSoft Engineering this year to try to give away some software. All you have to do is answer 10 trivia questions without getting three wrong.
Okay.
And if you do it, and it's all Apple history, so if you know your Mac and you know your Apple, all you have to do is answer these correctly and the software is yours. Your first question is going to be, beside Apple, which other two companies did Apple partner with in 1994 to create the PowerPC reference platform of computers?
Motorola, yeah, and IBM.
Oh, really? That's it. You're absolutely right. All right, one and one.
We tried.
Right, nine more to go and the software is yours. Apple's first effort to replace the aging Mac OS with the next generation of the OS went by what internal product? This is the product that Apple killed and made the Mac OS X.
Copeland.
Oh, hey, you know what? You're the first person to get that right. I have no picture for Copeland. I just thought that the baby and the puppy was cute. So.
Very nice.
Guy Searle's over there saying, I got it right, but you don't count. Where's he at, Guy?
He's at two.
I think he's got three correct and no wrong, right?
No wrong.
Hey, 3-0. Next question is going to be, in 1995, Apple tried to break into the video game system with what product? See, I got to keep making noise because this is a podcast.
Yeah, Hobbit.
You're going to say Hobbit. You were in the right ballpark. Pippin. Who is a Hobbit? But that doesn't quite count as the correct
answer.
All right,
one down.
So it's 4-1. In 1997, what company did Apple buy in an effort to create their next generation OS?
Next OS.
Next computer, but yeah. Correct, yeah. In 1997, how much money did Microsoft invest and Apple Computer's non-voting stock? Remember, Bill Gates came up on the Boston Macworld keynote, yeah.
$100 million.
$100 million?
$125?
$150? Okay. Let's see, I think that, yeah, you're absolutely right, $150. That's our picture of sexy Billy.
Very
Where
nice.
Where are we at? Six correct? Or
six
correct and only one incorrect?
One incorrect.
I think you're going to get it, man. I think we finally got someone. What was the color of the original iMac? You got to be very specific.
Bondi blue.
Bondi blue. Perfect. 7-1. I think we're finally going to give some software away from Joe Software today. What was the CEO of Apple Computer that Steve Jobs replaced?
Nightmare.
Used to be with Intel.
Think Fish.
Gil Emilio.
Very good. Think Fish.
You can just have one again.
What is he at? 7-1? Is he at 7-1 or is that? He's 8-1 now.
No, it's 7-1.
No, he was 7-1. Now he's 8-1. Yeah. Let's go to the tape. What company did Apple buy Final Cut Pro from? This company, within the last year, was sold completely to another company.
Avid?
Close. Macromedia.
Oh.
Now, who owns Macromedia now?
Adobe.
Hey, that's 9-1, or 9-2.
This is it, do or die,
man. What product did Apple introduce on October 23rd, 2001?
October 23rd, 2001.
Don't overthink it. If it's a trivia question, it should probably be a well-known answer.
I can't hear you, Tim. What'd you say?
iMac.
I still can't hear you.
iPod?
An iPod? Let's check the answer.
Yeah! iPod!
We lost the other mic.
Maybe 3 or 4 years ago, some company, and I can't tell you why, they sent me a USB MIDI keyboard. I don't know how to play the piano, but, you know, my kids loved it when I plugged it into GarageBand, and they would just pound away at the keys, and it made sounds, and they were happy with that. But I always thought it'd be cool if GarageBand or something like that could actually teach them to play piano. Here at the Macworld Expo, I'm coming by the Music Wizards booth, and they've got something exactly like I was looking for 3 years ago. And now that we have another four-year-old and she's starting to get into it, this is exactly what it looks so great. I'm here with David. David, tell me about this program. What am I looking at here?
Well, as you said, you were looking for something to help teach your daughter how to play the piano. And by the way, you're not out of it either. We have an ageless tool called Piano Wizard, and essentially we've demystified and cracked the musical code of how to play piano.
It looks like a game. I'm looking at the screen. It looks like a game. How is that going to teach me how to play piano?
Well, we call it play music. That's one of the first things to think about. And unfortunately, when we teach music, play is the elusive part.
Right. This isn't a faux thing like Guitar Hero where you feel like you're playing, but you're not learning anything.
That's correct. With Music Wizard, our products use the real instrument as your joystick, if you will. So you're learning to play a real instrument from the first time you touch the game.
Very colorful. I can already tell you my four-year-old would not be as scared of this game at all. She would go right up to it. Can you explain to the listeners, obviously they can't see it, but could you explain kind of what the setup is and how this is going to help them?
Sure. To play off what you said, most of us think of musical notation and have that horrible grid in our minds when we think of playing music.
White sheet of paper, black notes.
All that mean nothing. You know, might as well be a foreign language,
absolutely.
And it is.
I forgot everything that I used to know in band.
Unfortunately, that picture is how we teach every instrument, though it looks unlike any instrument we play.
And that's not the best way?
And that's essentially, as you see in Piano Wizard here, our step one is we've kind of updated the manual, if you will. We made it to where your guide or your instruction looks like the instrument that you're playing.
Right.
So that's one of the most basic things we've done. And at its core, Piano Wizard is a five-step method to playing music, to read music, to play on an acoustic piano. We're starting with play, not read. Where read to play is the traditional method.
So you
we're
want
play
the kids
first.
To get used to it and have fun with it, and without them even knowing, they're starting to learn where keys are.
Well, I'll challenge your audience as well as everybody that I talk to, but I can't think of another physical act that we teach by reading a book. And not to mention, if you were driving your car while reading that book,
yeah,
the next step is the hospital.
Absolutely.
So it's almost an unnatural act that we're trying to ask little
That's
kids
true.
To do. Right, from the very beginning. And so what we're doing in our step one, as you see, the act of playing music is about very simply hitting the right note at the right time.
And the keyboard has little stickers on it with the right color, and you push that key when the little picture of the piano hits the same key going scrolling up the screen.
That's right. Objects very simply
come. It seems so simple. Why hasn't anybody done this before?
Sometimes the simple thing gets overlooked.
They're waiting
for
you, David.
Well, I like to joke that the monks sat around 300 years ago and said, how can we take the simplest language and make it the most difficult to learn? And they did it.
They did it.
But fortunately with Piano Wizard and soon Guitar Wizard, we've cracked that musical code. So everybody that ever wanted to play an instrument now can. The barrier is not notation.
Unlike me, you don't have to already have a USB MIDI keyboard to use this. You've got packages that will come with a piano.
Yeah, what we are is the method of how to play. You can use any digital MIDI keyboard with our game. You can choose the instrument. We're the how. How do I play this?
So where are they going to go online to learn more information and possibly buy it?
Great question. MusicWizard.com, where you can see both the Piano Wizard and the Guitar Wizard that will be out this year.
Guitar Wizard.
Real
smells
guitar.
Sounds like a Mac 2009 product that we're going to have to come back and take a look at in live. David, I wish you guys the best of luck. It's a really cool looking program. It may be something that I'm going to have to pick up myself from my four-year-old because I think she would really dig it. So thanks a lot for the podcast.
Thanks for the interest.
This is the Apple trivia questions.
All right.
What happens is I'm going to ask you a number of questions. If you get 10 correct, you win.
Okay.
And what you're going to win is a copy of Stocks from Joe Software.
Sweet. Okay.
If you get three wrong before you get those three correct, though, you're done.
All right. That's cool.
All right. You ready?
Okay. I'm going to make it harder now.
All right.
What capacity hard drive space did the first generation of iPods come in?
5 and 10.
5 and 10 gigabyte. Correct. Yeah. See? 1-0 already. What was the price of those two models?
$299 and $399.
And
$399.
You were going to start there, too, because I saw you going for three. And don't second-guess yourself. Yeah. When you come up with an answer, go for it, because you're probably going to be correct.
Okay, 1-1.
How did that first iPod
Firewire.
Connect? Oh, look at that. It's not easy. Like, ding, he hit the buzzer.
2-1.
What year was the iTunes first released?
Oh, 2000.
That your final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
Final answer is incorrect.
One.
It's 2001. So he's at what?
He's two.
2-2.
Uh-oh. 2-2.
Man,
all
right. 2-2, man.
The other one.
You gotta blow through these next eight or you're done.
All right, I'll come down.
What version of iTunes was the first to be able to run on a Windows PC? We need a specific. It's something point something.
Yeah.
Think about when Apple finally made it compatible with Windows. The iTunes software went with it.
You can get
you know
at
this
least,
answer.
You can get it at least to the version that works.
If you you don't have to get the point. If you can at least say.
Which whole version?
I'll say it's somewhere between 1 and 7.
I'll say they're at 7. They're at 7
today. Yeah. I want to say iTunes 6.
iTunes 6 is pretty recent. Is that your final answer?
It's been there for a while, though.
That seems too much.
No. All right. All right, here.
All right, this is
okay,
your final
answer. Go 5.
That's actually 4.1. Thanks a lot, though.
He was standing back on the other questions and going, bam, bam.
Oh, I know.
Bam,
but then they get him on the mic and they're like, oh, choke, choke.
I hate these iPhones.
Thanks for playing, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, though.
Make sure you download the podcast and you'll be on there, definitely. So that was a lot of the coverage that we had today. It was a busy day, you know?
Oh, yeah, very busy.
I know that John Nemo has been out there recording, at least he told me he has, so I'm going to assume he has been, recording segments for the podcast.
Right.
Hopefully we'll be able to include those in on either Thursday or Friday show. So, John, if you're listening to this, we
need your segments, brother.
Some of the things, other things that we didn't necessarily record today, we had a meeting with Microsoft. And in that meeting, it was a private meeting. It wasn't a big press room or something.
It was Owen, it was you, sorry, Tim, Larry Grinnell, and myself.
Yeah, and we met with Microsoft. Now, Owen is, when it comes to the Microsoft products, he's the guy. And so he had some really great questions. I think let's hold off talking about that meeting with Microsoft. So let's get together with Owen tomorrow at the podcast or at the expo.
Yeah, he would be more knowledgeable about it anyway.
And so we'll talk about that some tomorrow. But right across the hall from Microsoft, we saw a sign for AOL.
And you know, I mean, who in this day and age,
AOL? We're thinking, why is AOL for real? Why?
Well, why are they even here at Macworld?
Right. Why would AOL spend any money to be at Macworld? We couldn't figure that out. So we kind of wandered in there. We didn't have an appointment, but they weren't meeting with anybody anyways, which that's a surprise.
Yeah, it says a lot right there.
Yeah, and so we kind of wander in there, and the lady asked if I had read their press release that she sent, and I'm like, to be honest, I've got 487,000 press releases.
Right.
I look at the subject, and I move on. Because I can't read them all. And so we start talking to them. And Owen actually worked at Apple the same time this other AOL guy did. So they were talking about Cray computers or something. I wasn't following it too closely. But I start talking to this other lady. You weren't really in there too much at that
point. No, I wasn't in there at all.
Yeah, but Larry was standing next to me pretty much the whole time.
Yep.
And I was telling her my history with AOL. That one of the first places that I released My Mac Magazine was on AOL. And if it wasn't for AOL and its Mac users at the time, MyMac.com wouldn't exist. And, you know, I've got a very fond memory of AOL. By the way, I'm going to let you guys in on something that I haven't... Only one other person right now knows about. You know that we're redesigning the site here within the next... Within this year, hopefully. We're going to start using the white logo with his arms crossed. One of the problems I've had is how we're going to have the logo and MyMac.com kind of on the same thing, because it just wasn't fitting as well for me. And I've decided that we're going to actually go back to our roots, to where we started. Not as downloadable stuff, don't worry about that. But the name of the site is going to stay MyMac.com, but the official title that we're going to have is going to be My Mac Magazine.
Oh, cool.
We're
okay.
Putting the magazine moniker back into our name. We're not adding this to try to change who we are. This is who we've always been. We just stopped using the magazine because we didn't have a downloadable electronic. But we're an online magazine. That's really what we are. That's the kind of the format that we have.
Constantly changing content.
Right. And so and it's all original content. We don't do press releases and all that crap. So we're going to go back to My Mac Magazine. I like it. Rolls off the tongue a lot better. I'm tired of saying .com, MyMac.com, and it's just going to be My Mac Magazine. So you guys just learned something that's going to be pretty significant a year from now when we finally relaunch the new look and it says My Mac Magazine. It's going to surprise. It won't surprise many people now because we just said it on a podcast. So anyways, back to the AOL story.
we're talking, Larry and I are talking to this lady, and to be honest, I can't remember her name. Is this her card right here? Christina. Okay, Christina Wick. She's the technical director for Mac Desktop Applications, which, wait a minute, this is AOL Mac Desktop Applications.
They haven't changed their software other than
and who's
a few
using
little
it?
Updates.
Yeah.
5 years.
Five years, yeah.
Turns out, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, AOL is releasing new, brand new Mac AOL software. Amazing. And to be honest, Larry and I kind of said why to her. And AOL is starting, it sounds like they're really trying to start over. They want to go back to what they were, not a paid internet service provider that they were, but the type of community that the AOL
that they fostered when they first started.
That they were known for, and that I have memories of, that they got away from. You know, remember the joke AOL, AO wait. Remember you?
Yeah.
Everybody was on dial up, and you could never get in. It was always busy.
AOL.
That was another one. AOL heck. Yeah. You know, there was a lot of them.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. But they're going to come out with new Mac client software. I find that just mind-boggling.
Well, I've been an AOL member for a very, very long time.
I still use my iChat name as an actual AIM name.
So I still have a paid for every month.
Likewise.
AOL account.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
I had no idea.
I knew you were
a little odd.
Well, I've always been a little odd. I've mostly kept it because of the screen name that I have,
yep.
Florida Kid, like it really matters, because so many people know that address. And in order to tell every single person I know, okay, well, I'm going from FloridaKid@AOL.com to, you know, Joe Blow at Cox.net or
right,
whatever.
Right, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it is a pain in the ass, and I just don't want to deal with it.
Well, you know, they're trying to move people off the paid service.
Yeah.
And keep them as AOL clients. So obviously their revenue is going to be ad driven. We know that.
Yeah.
But the more I was trying to remember any AOL software that I ever use anymore because I wasn't using AIM. I use iChat. And she said, "Well, we have AOL Radio." And I about hit myself in the head. I go, "Oh my God! I use AOL Radio all the time. I didn't even think of it. It's a great service. It ties in with XM satellite broadcast." It's not the highest quality music as far as
right, but you're downloading it off your computer. So
it's streaming.
Yeah,
and I'm just sitting. They've got a comedy channel that's completely unrated, so you know,
or uncensored.
Uncensored. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's I love that software. I found that out because John Nemo wrote an article on it a year or two ago.
Well, so how do you get people to click on your ads? You provide content that people find compelling.
Yeah. So we'll see if. I wish AOL the best. I really do. Maybe, like you guys, I've got very fond memories of what AOL was. And if they can get back to that and start fostering this sense of community, more power to them. I'll back them up on it. Just don't beat me to death with the ads, though.
Right.
You know. And I think Larry and I may have given her some ideas I don't know if they necessarily thought about. But she started talking about APIs. I said, "Were you going to open up your APIs enough so... you know, someone can have their own AOL page and they can put their Twitter posts on there." And you just saw the gears kind of turning a little bit, and we thought, there you go. There's an idea. Mm-hmm. That'd be 1995. before we wrap this up, let's talk about a little bit what's going up on the site right now. Obviously, I don't know what the latest blog post is going to be when this podcast actually goes live tomorrow. But right now, Artie's talking about art deco and design, fornicating with art. Sexy.
Ooh.
I wonder if he got that name because I went over there and I stroked his ear when he was sitting there and I said, "Sexy" to him.
I did see him shiver just after you did that.
I did. I'm shivering just thinking about it. Guy Searle.
I saw him run to the bathroom to wash his ear.
Well, that was the excuse why he ran to the bathroom. But
he was sure in there for a long time.
He was. At least 3 minutes. Guy Searle has a blog post called "A Little Quick and Dirty." What the hell's going on at mymac.com? I'm going to
fornicating, but it just doesn't take very long.
I'm going to get these content sensors. They're going to start blocking us now.
Well, that was basically, you know, you walk out onto a convention floor, and it's not just it's just not, you know, it's not just Mac World. It's any convention.
Right.
And if it's specific to a particular genre, you're going to see a lot of the same kinds of things over and over again.
iPod cases.
Yeah, iPod cases, iPhone cases.
Oh, look, they've got more iPod cases over here.
Oh, look, this one blinks. You know,
grab your camera.
Yeah. And it gets to the point where you start to get a little numb. And
yeah.
You start going out and trying to find the stuff that's kind of different.
We did see a really cool iPod case on Monday before the expo officially kicked off.
Yeah, with Gear 4.
Gear 4. Their iPhone and their iTouch cases.
Very slick.
Very slick. And Bill Palmer from iPod, I'm hoping I'm not stepping on his toes here, and he asked me afterwards, he goes, do you think that would be worthy of possibly being in Best of Show? And I said, honestly, I haven't seen anything else yet for iPod.
Cases. Yeah.
I said, yeah, I haven't seen
really
everything.
But you can't say it's Best of Show because they weren't at the show.
Well, yeah, they are, but they're not. They're here. Journalists can see their stuff.
Right.
This isn't vaporware.
No, it's not vaporware.
And they're here. They're just not on the showroom floor.
Yeah.
Neither is, Bento is, because they're from...
Oh, yeah, they were there.
Yeah.
They were on the floor.
But they're here.
Yeah.
And he asked me, and I told him, I said, well, I haven't seen anything else yet, but I haven't seen an iPod case or an iPhone case that has a cover over the glass that protects it, and you could still use
the touch.
It was amazing. I was very impressed. And you could use it as a stand as well, so... Arnie also has some photos from San Francisco. He's got some nice photos, some fog rolling in. You see a boat in the water. That's pretty cool. David Weeks has been posting stuff for Nemo, and he's got rounds 1, 2, and 3 up there already. That's great. Larry, you've got one called On the Floor, Macworld San Francisco, Day 2. Day 2 was today.
That was actually yesterday's.
That was yesterday's?
Yes.
Well, that was technically Day 1 for Macworld San Francisco. It was your second full day here.
Right.
Yeah, you got to watch those naming conventions, dude. You're going to confuse people because, you post that and they're like, how the hell did he know this is going to happen today? What's Lotto? Quick, get the numbers.
He's clairvoyant.
So we've got a lot of pictures up on the site. We're going to have a whole lot more starting tomorrow, today, when you guys are listening to this. I'm going to hit the showroom floor fast and dirty. And probably maybe Guy and Larry in tow, unless they go their separate ways. We want to really bring the show home to you guys. We're hoping that the segments that we played on this podcast help do that. We want to thank ProSoft Engineering / JoeSoft for sponsoring us to come here. We're having a really good time at their booth doing the Apple quiz. Now, when you guys listen to this, you're going to have one more chance to come over and participate.
Tomorrow.
And that's going to be tomorrow, Friday.
11 a.m.
Come to the ProSoft booth. It's in the South Hall. If you go in and you go over towards the right, you'll see this great big orange weird booth. I don't know what the heck's there, but right behind them is the ProSoft booth. You can't miss it.
Yeah, it's near the back. It's near the back of the floor on the right hand side as you walk in.
It's a nice big booth. It's towards the back, and
good
I'm
people
having
there
a,
too.
You guys already heard what we were doing there today. Now, we didn't play everything in their entirety, because that would make for a long podcast.
That would make it about a two-hour podcast.
Right, and we wanted to kind of bring you the best of the questions and the answers, and it was a lot of fun. It's great to meet some of the people. I like the guy from, he was from Palm, the company, you know, Palm.
Wasn't he one of the guys that was, like, standing behind someone else and answering questions?
Getting them left and right.
Yeah,
as soon as
he was on mic, it was...
And that happened more
joke,
than not.
Joke.
People think they know. They get on the mic, you answer 10 questions correctly, you're going to win stocks from JoeSoft.
Right.
ProSoft Engineering.
STOX.
And that's... A lot of people are interested in that product. I know a lot of you aren't going to come to the show, so you're not going to be able to participate in the Apple quiz. I'm hoping to get it actually posted online next week or the week after so you can play the home game. You won't win anything, but if you have a good time playing it, all we ask is maybe go up to the ProSoft Engineering and
look at the great products that they have.
Yep. And we're not trying to just kiss their butt. We are. But they really do have some great products. And, again, thanks very much. I don't know, did you see that they announced Drive Genius 2?
No,
can't,
I didn't
buy it
see
yet.
That.
It comes out in a couple weeks. But Drive Genius 2 is coming out, and I know a lot of people wanted to use Drive Genius, but it's not compatible.
It wasn't
with
Leopard, right.
The new one is, and it adds new features, so there you go. And if you're a PC user, they actually have data backup for PC as well. So I don't know how many PC users are going to be listening to our podcast, but you never know. So, it was a little bit of a longer show today.
Pre-switchers,
there you go. A little bit of a longer show today. We'll probably have even more segments tomorrow as we get some stuff from John Nemo, some stuff that I'm going to be recording tomorrow. I saw some booths that I didn't talk to.
But you want to get back to.
Either tomorrow, Thursday, or Friday, we're definitely going to get over to the G3 booth. Our buddy Bruce G.
Oh. You want me to talk about that now?
Go for it. You can talk about it a little bit.
I stopped in to see Bruce as I was kind of walking around the show floor yesterday, and I was kind of looking at the stuff he had out there, and it was the same stuff that he's had for a while for iMovie, but he's now going to be taking most of those same effects that he had for iMovie.
Which I love.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that because he's advertising or anything like that. That's a product that I really, really enjoy. That's the epitome of Mac software right there.
It made iMovie usable. 10 times better.
Absolutely.
But he's going to port all that over to Final Cut.
And that's Final Cut Pro.
Or most of it, at least. Most
going to be getting all those transitions and effects. That's going to make Final Cut an even better program. And that right there, when Guy told me that, I didn't find that out from Bruce. I found that out from Guy originally. I didn't see Bruce G until today. And when Guy told me that, I went, oh, crap, now I got to buy Final Cut. I really did. And here's my story about it today. Larry and I had stopped by the Otherworld Computing, really good friends of ours, MacSales.com.
Right.
They've sponsored our podcast in the past, as well as the website. And they've provided a lot of prizes for contests that we've done on the podcast.
Sure, over the years.
Past. Including the one that you came, the 100 podcast. We had OWC stuff, including, remember, we had the T-shirts.
Yes.
So, real good friends of the show, not because they supported us, but they're a good company.
They provide excellent service.
Them and Small Dog have been some of my favorite companies to deal with over the years. So anyways, I had bought a RAM upgrade for my MacBook Pro, mistakenly getting the 4-gig upgrade kit for getting this particular MacBook Pro dual core.
Only handles two,
and I've already got 1.5 in it, so. I need a battery. I've got a bad cell in this battery. So I need a new battery for my MacBook Pro. Larry says, you should go talk to so-and-so, who was NewerTech.
NewerTech.
And we've got a great relationship with them, too. We've reviewed almost every product that they have.
Right.
And they've consistently got high scores. They really quality products. I thought, if anybody will have one, it'll probably be NewerTech. Larry was right, and I couldn't find it. But I saw Bruce's booth, and it's about in the same place as it was last year. I thought that was...
It is almost in the exact same place.
And so I saw Bruce, and I said, hey, Bruce, you still selling that crap? And he turned around, because he didn't know who it was at first. He just starts cracking up. He's got such a good sense of humor. And he asked how I am, and we talked for a few minutes, and I said, I'm trying to find a NewerTech booth or somebody that sells laptop batteries, because... My battery in my MacBook Pro is dying on me. It's got a bad cell. And he's like, oh, really? And you got to remember, he's there showing.
Yeah.
Okay? He's selling stuff at his booth right now. Well, not right now. He's not there right now.
at 8 o'clock at night.
He says, well, there was this battery company right over here. Let me show you. He leaves his booth and walks. And I said, you don't have to come with me, dude. He's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. That's the kind of guy Bruce G is. He left his booth. We walked two aisles down. We asked this company. They didn't have any. Mm. And then I walked back with Bruce to his own booth, and there was people standing there. And he was in no hurry because...
And he had product out.
And he had product out. That's the kind of guy Bruce G is. And if you buy his product, that's the kind of person you're supporting. That's why we like G3 software.
G3. Well, besides the fact that it's just great software.
Right. G3.com. It's made by a really great guy. A really great company,
and you know, and we're not getting paid to talk about G3.
But if you go to
G3.com, a lot of the effects that he has, you can download and use for free.
Right.
He wants to show you how good his product is.
Yep.
Before you spend any money on.
And unfortunately, it's not compatible with the brand new iMovie OA.
No.
That's why he's converting them over to Final Cut. So that's our show this week. Thank you again for sponsoring us, ProSoft Engineering. Anybody that if you enjoy listening to the site or listen to the podcast, we do encourage you to go up to ProSoftEngineering.com or ProSoft.com.
ProSoftEngineering.com.
Better yet, just go to MyMac.com. Look at any of the podcasts we have listed under the features. We have a link to ProSoft Engineering right there. I did want to bring attention to anybody listening that wants to support MyMac directly. If you look right below our logo, there's a donate button that flashes a PayPal. If you want to donate to MyMac.com, we'd appreciate it. The money will go directly into my infant son's belly. And but thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. We'd love to hear feedback from you.
With more stuff.
With more stuff. Send any feedback to Tim at MyMac.com. Larry, Guy, thanks for coming up in my hotel room and recording a podcast tonight.
Bye.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.